This episode of the Regstick Podcast, sponsored by El Rio Grande Mexican Restaurant. If you're looking for authentic home-style Mexican food and the best margaritas you'll ever salt your lips with, go see our friend Raul Urdiales and the fun-loving staff at Baton Rouge's oldest Mexican restaurant, El Rio Grande. 8334 Airline Highway, just north of Florida, across from Frank's.
Welcome to the Regstick Podcast. Today's guests are horoscopes writer Nick Moore and comedian Howard Hall Jr. Now here's your host, the Regstick's comedian-in-chief, Jeremy White.
All right, yes, sir, we are rolling here at El Rio Grande, 8334 Airline Highway, just north of Florida, across from Frank's. I'm your host, Jeremy White, with us today. Oh, no sunny weather. He's taking a break, probably getting drunk, getting ready to go pick up a pug in Houston. Get a partner, a black pug, for a partner for Lou. And he needs a black dog for that part of the neighborhood, you know.
I guess.
Yeah, he does. He needs the street cred, so anyway. Instead, we've got a fantastic duo that they've known each other for quite a while. They got a lot of good chemistry. We've got our old buddy Nick Moore from Dork Podcast.
I'm Nick Moore.
Yeah, and to his left, one of the funniest dudes you will see anywhere around on the Gulf Coast, Mr. Howard Hall Jr.
What's going on, everybody?
How have you been, man?
I've been good.
You've been active, man.
You can say that, say the least. I've been active.
This is the first podcast where I've got two guys with me that are also hosts of other podcasts.
Absolutely.
Nick, of course, is Dork, D-O-R-Q-U-E, along with James Brown. And then you've got...
Third Shift Show.
Yeah, tell us about that. What's going
on? Third Shift Show is a podcast, me and Melody. We talk about current events, gossip, hip-hop, and shit that's just on our minds.
It's on iTunes?
Yes, it is on iTunes. Third Shift Show.
SoundCloud. Too. I saw it when y'all posted it was on SoundCloud. I was like, that's kind of neat. So now you can you do they show pictures of Melody? Because I saw a picture of her. She's easy on the eyes.
Melody is beautiful. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
yes, she is. Wife knows Melody.
Yeah, I know.
So we are friends. Nobody's thinking that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Melody. She's great.
See, y'all run like y'all go every week about an hour.
Yeah,
or something.
Every week about an hour.
To Howard's friend, Melody.
Melody.
His friend
at just
friend.
Melody.
His friend
at Twitter and Instagram at Melody.
She's got a few. She's got a number of followers on there.
Yes, she do. She got a blog and a fashion blog and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
She got a lot of time on her hands. All I do is sit there and talk shit, and then I go home.
Talk about how much you love your wife.
Yeah, that's it. Every show, I love my wife.
There you go.
Actually, that shit does come up. That's crazy, Nick.
It's a good place to like build relationship, you know, cred at home.
Yeah.
Where you're like when you're with another woman and you're being recorded and you're always.
Yeah.
What a good thing is we just recorded last night and my wife was the guest.
Uh-uh.
Boom, Nick. Beat you to it.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, I told Carol, I was like, I'm gonna have you on. And she's like, what am I gonna talk about? And I said, I haven't told her topic.
Oh shit.
But
what's the topic though, Nick?
I don't know. I think I'm going with like BDSM or something like that.
Yeah, let's make it complicated.
Something that'll sell an hour.
Yeah, there you go.
We're gonna start with the handcuffs, babe.
What's it like being a gimp?
It's lonely. But a comforting loneliness.
Does it hurt when you peel the latex off?
Mm.
You
know?
But in a good way.
Oh, okay.
It's that pain of release.
Pain of pleasure.
How do you go about setting a safe word?
You want something that you're not going to use in a regular conversation.
See, these are questions that you can go in.
Swear words are definitely out.
Like saran wrap. Yeah. That should be a great safe word.
No, because you might use some saran wrap in those.
Yeah, that's the only way to do a glass bottom boat, right?
Yeah, no.
If you want to feel the heat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's new. Now that I know. I might just use
it. Go
ahead and look that one up.
It's got to be something that the last thing you would want to come to mind when you're having sex or any kind of sex. So it's got to be something like Keith Olbermann.
Oh, yeah. That's a great safe word.
That's a real good safe word.
Blueberries.
What?
That sounds like a move. That sounds like something
blueberries?
You do in the bedroom. Yeah.
Give me the blueberries.
Yeah, like.
It does now.
Yeah, see? That's filthy, Nick. Like,
That is fucking
now
dirty.
You need a better safe word. Yeah. Why can't we use safe word as the safe word?
No. Safe word.
That's like putting password in you on your Gmail as password.
Yeah, but in this case, you're unlocking her, taking her heel off your nuts. It's fine if everybody knows this.
Yeah.
But what if I scream it? Other people that's like in adjoining like apartments hear my safe word. That's also their safe word. Everything stops.
That's just like
you start getting angry letters.
That's just like the guy Jesse from fucking Breaking Bad. He's got that Xbox commercial.
Yeah.
They said he's fucking with people's Xboxes in the commercial.
Because
it's voice control. So he's going, Xbox on. Xbox fast
record.
Yeah. And people at home are watching him on TV. All of a sudden, their Xbox is acting up.
Yeah.
There's a dude on the TV telling them what the fuck to do.
He did it on purpose, man. Xbox is creative.
Welcome to the future.
Sonny did that last week on the podcast, fucking too, to fuck it. With people. But
Sonny and a black pug. It's fucking ridiculous,
Sonny. Yeah.
I swung by his house.
Have it shipped.
Yeah. They can fit it in like a shoebox.
Yes.
You take the legs up.
I mean, not inhumanely. Don't box it up, no oxygen. I mean,
you could ship. I mean, hey, Garfield kept talking about shipping Nermal to Abu Dhabi. This is just Houston to Baton Rouge, man.
Yeah, you don't have to overnight it. You could do it at one-day delivery.
Exactly. Yeah. Puppy would be perfect. It'd be fine.
Like a little wet washcloth in there by its face.
Yeah, as long as you go
hydrated.
As long as you go with somebody reputable, not like DSL or somebody. No, you got to get somebody that knows what the fuck.
That puppy's going to die if it comes on DSL.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to fucking say it.
The arrows are upside down. It's got dents in it.
Nah, you can't
do that. Obviously, somebody peed on it.
Fragile, but as a dent in the side of the air package.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't do that.
Who taped this all the way up? I said it needed air. Sorry.
Sorry.
Just trying to secure it, baby. Put some peanuts in it.
They wrap it in saran wrap really tight and then stuff it full of peanuts
so it
doesn't get bounced around.
Exactly.
That's right. There
it's
you go.
Fragile.
Hey, that's a... I'm going to really stretch a segue out of that. There was a bill that was passed this year and Jindal just fucking vetoed it. They tried to do it a couple times, and they actually passed it. It's to... you ever seen dogs loose on the interstate in the back of trucks?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I actually, one time...
We live in the Gulf South, Jeremy.
Yeah.
The thing is,
back roads, country roads, fine. Right. I understand. But not fucking I-10, I-12. All right, because, look, this actually happened to us. We were driving down the road one Sunday morning, dressed up, going to church when we actually went to church. And there's a truck about maybe a quarter mile ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we see something in the back moving. And it just comes piling out of the back of the truck. I'm like, what the fuck? Holy shit, it's a goddamn dog.
It just tumbled off the back of the truck.
It came out the back. Like, he hit a bump, and the dog got a little too close to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tumbling down, you know, like a stuntman, four-legged stuntman.
He caught air, Nick.
Over there at 10 and Segan. Yeah. Over at 10 and Segan.
Fucked up.
So, Air Bud.
That's what I was going for.
So we stopped because the truck kept going, and he finally had to stop. He realized
his dog was in the middle of the highway.
So we stopped right there on the fucking interstate on a Sunday morning. Thank goodness the traffic wasn't that bad.
Right.
Not many other people going to church that morning, apparently. So we stopped in church clothes.
And get the dog,
who's obviously bloody. The dog, like, was walking around, but it's all scraped to, scraped up and bleeding.
I can't say jump.
And so I'm hoping the dog's not injured and is going to bite me because, you know, dogs, when they're hurt, you go to reach, they're going to bite you if they're injured. They have a natural tendency because they feel...
Defensive mechanism.
They feel, But fortunately, he didn't do that. So we're holding the dog and keeping him out of the fucking traffic while his owner comes back up 10 to get his dog.
Right.
Or cargo, whatever he wants to call it.
Did he have to go to a turnaround, or did he just back up?
No, he just backed up on the shoulder.
Okay.
Oh.
And so when the dog comes, he's like, the guy comes to his dog, he's like, oh, thank you, and starts blaming the dog for being stupid. I'm like, you motherfucker. So anyway, so they had a bill two years ago. It didn't pass. This year it passed. Well, what did Jindal do Friday?
Vetoed it.
Fucking vetoed that motherfucker.
That's why he's our governor, man.
He vetoed
that. He's on top of shit, Nick.
He vetoed the surrogacy bill, which would have allowed for, you know, say, a sister or somebody. Your family, they all donate kidneys. But let's say your family let's say they were into surrogacy and leasing out wombs and stuff like that. Like Section 8, you know.
We couldn't do it.
Yeah, you couldn't, but...
We got enough wombs.
Yeah.
Hey!
But just say somebody's
got some sisters, man.
But if you've got a friend or somebody that is infertile and they want to have a baby, and you want to offer, hey, I'll be a surrogate, I'll gestate the child for 9 months.
Incubation pod for your baby.
They passed the bill, and Jindal vetoed that.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you got a great idea.
It's specifically to keep gay guys from having kids.
Yeah, because gay people might use that to have kids.
Wow. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's a total dick move on his part. If you don't understand how big of a dick Bobby Jindal is, just look at his picture that he posts for like... it's airbrushed. Like, his mouth is airbrushed. But he looks like he smiled and then farted and shit his pants. And so he's just like... he's just like... he's like, his lips are all crinkled up. His teeth look like one tooth that somebody tried to paint in with whiteout.
Have you ever
tried to paint anything with that whiteout brush? Like, it gets all crusty and it leaves
really
little chunks.
Yeah.
It didn't. That's what his teeth look like in this little picture. His lips look furled in that... Don't move because the shit will fall out of my pant leg.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll see it. That kind of thing.
I don't like him because it don't look like he can grow a mustache. And it fucks with me a little bit.
Yeah.
If you can't grow that, I shouldn't trust you as a man.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
I like that.
Maybe that's why he dropped, you know, he hides his Indian first name.
Payush,
he traded for Bobby because in India,
first of all, I never fucking knew that. I'm just
you did not know
there.
His name was Payush.
First of all, it's hard to spell, and I thought it was Cajun. To be honest with you,
you thought he was Cajun?
I thought that name was Cajun.
Bobby?
No, the Jindal? First one.
Payush.
Think about it. That sounds like that something sounds like, that's off that by cutoff Louisiana.
That sounds like that cheer at LSU: hot boudin, cold kukush.
Yes.
Come on, Bobby. Like, Payush, Payush, Payush.
Payush sounds like something you eat with hush puppies. Am I right? Like, it does, Nick.
Fair enough. Or something you dip them in.
Something?
Put that by who's ya.
I did not know it was Indian.
But no, mustaches are real big in India.
Yeah.
One of the guys that was training me at Pennington, he's an Indian dude. And he's like, middle school was hard because I had this like a little crappy mustache.
Lovely Courtney visiting
really?
Us.
It was hey, like
Courtney.
This.
I'm going to do a strawberry margarita.
Strawberry margarita for Howard Hall.
Sugar. Yep.
With sugar.
I'm about to get toasted.
And it's going to be frozen.
Man.
Yeah, frozen. Absolutely.
Y'all family donates kidneys. It sounds like y'all going to need like new pancreas.
Well, what we do is our kidneys are made to last, baby. That first one was Sonny helped it get healthy. He put me on Jaeger for like 5 fucking years. Drinking that shit every fucking night.
Built up the resistance.
Yeah.
That's
now my kidney was like, what is this? What is water?
Yeah.
Shit's healthy. Getting stronger, baby.
So you were saying you had a...
But no, he said middle school was hard because he had this little shitty dirt lip mustache that his dad insisted that he grow.
Oh.
Really?
Because his dad was like, no, you're an Indian man.
You'll grow a mustache.
Your mustaches are a sign of masculinity and you're going to grow one.
Yes.
And so all through middle school, early high school, he had just this god-awful soup stain.
He had the petty stash.
That little dirty, rough thing.
He's got the dirty Sanchez. It's not a dirty Sanchez if you're from India. What would it be? A dirty Pavel?
That's good.
A dirty Nahasapim Petalan?
Depends on if you're North Indian or South Indian, because the names get longer the further south you go.
Oh, yeah.
The darker the skin, the longer the names, the spicier the food.
Yep.
As you go from north to south.
Horrible traffic. I just want to throw that out there.
Have you been to India?
No, but I've seen pictures.
I heard it smells really bad.
I can imagine.
Like as a country.
Yeah.
As a country?
The whole country.
Well, entire country of India.
Have you ever been into an Indian restaurant?
Imagine.
Yes, I have.
It smells good.
Yeah.
Like when you get in there, right? But they hurry you out as soon as you're done.
Yeah.
Like, go.
Go.
Race it home.
Because they know if you linger...
You're going to have to shit there.
You're going to shit there. They don't want you shitting there.
And it's rough.
Wow.
Indian shit's... Like, Carol has a standing order. I'm not allowed to get vindaloo when I go to the Indian restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I do it, I'm like, woman, don't tell me what to do. And I'll get it, and I'll eat it.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hot. And then the next day, I'm like, Carol, don't let me do it. Don't,
again?
Don't do it. Because it's all day. It's like... Fire.
Oh,
it's like
really?
Liquid
all
fire.
Day?
Your body.
Out of your ass all day.
All day, nonstop. And your butthole becomes this like a little winking death eye. It's like in Lord of the Rings.
Sauron.
Yeah, Sauron's eye. That's what it looks
the
like.
Ring on?
Yeah. It's just bright, bright red, glowing death from morning till night. And it's just you get death cramps and then, you know, napalm.
Napalm.
And so I told her, I was like, yo, no, from now on, you get violent. And now she does. Like, if we go to the Indian restaurant now, I'm like, oh, Vindaloo. And she goes, no. Damn it. And she picks up a knife. Gets that, serious about it. She's like, you told
be,
me.
That should be the safe word, Vindaloo.
Vindaloo is a great safe word.
That would I don't like bringing food into the bedroom.
Oh,
there it is. I don't eat Indian. I don't want to associate. So I never have. I don't want to, especially after hearing that story, Nick.
I've never dated Indian chicks. I don't know.
Do they have to install special toilets?
If that's the case, I have eaten Indian.
Burger, burger.
Do they have to install special toilets in Indian restaurants?
Did you see a freaking? What was that movie?
And not just the hole in the ground.
The Indian one that won all the Oscars. Like the,
what is it, Millionaire?
Oh, yeah. He Wants to Be a Millionaire, yeah.
Yeah. What was the name
of it? Well, no, it was Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, did you see the toilets that they have in India?
No.
It's just a hole
They make the ones in, like, China look decent. In China, they have those little holes in the ground.
Yeah, that's it. It's terrible.
If you're lucky, they've got, like, this is a designated crapping zone.
Yeah.
You can crap here.
Yeah, but in some places, it's just like you walk into the men's room, and there's just a hole. And maybe it's designated, or maybe it's just four holes in a row, which means dudes are coming in and squatting next to each other. Like, hey, how's it going? Ah, oh, man, those fucking bears, huh? tell me about the, well, I guess they like soccer and basketball. Soccer and basketball.
Cricket.
It's football, it's sir. That's what it's called.
It's cricket over
Not
there.
Not Chinese. I don't know how to say it in Chinese.
Well, in Indian, it should be football.
Chinese is checkers, right?
I'm confused.
Well, you're talking China or India, it's cricket.
Yeah, India, they freaking love cricket. That's going to start World War III. India and Pakistan.
Exactly.
Dude, you think like a freaking Bama game's rough?
Oh, God.
Forget it. Pakistan versus India in fucking cricket? They have nuclear weapons.
They do.
One wrong call and goodbye Bombay.
Yeah.
Well, they got loose trigger fingers.
Mm.
Both sides.
Yeah.
Now that goes. Woo!
Uh-oh, there it is. There's a strawberry market. That is beautiful,
she
man.
She filled it up to the brim. Mm-hmm.
It matches
I love
your
it.
Shirt. It matches Courtney's shirt.
We're out of the strawberry sweetener stuff.
Uh-oh.
I'm all right with that.
I gave it a taste.
That looks
test.
Good, man. Woo! Nice and refreshing on a hot day.
You're going to be lit today.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to sweat like a dog cutting grass.
Lit like a firecracker,
no.
man.
Sure. No, yeah, thank you, though.
No.
I can't. I don't trust it.
It'd be like Ron Burgundy drinking milk outside, like warm milk.
It's a bad choice.
It's a bad choice. We're like kicking Baxter. I said that's a great segue from the dog falling out of the truck.
Oh, Baxter.
Baxter oh, the dog fell
the
out
dog
of the truck.
Fell out the truck. Good Lord.
Sorry about that.
We're back to it.
We were talking about alcohol and Jindal. You were pissed off because there's a story in today's
Advocate. Oh, my God, yeah, dude.
He hasn't vetoed it yet, but
he's
being pressured to veto the bill that they're going to allow
more alcohol sales in
movie theaters.
Right.
You know, because they're talking about like
he's
going to
veto that shit?
Well, there are a bunch of Christian groups harassing him to like go, it will degrade the morality.
Fuck, we couldn't even
of
get
of a movie theater.
Most Christians bootleg movies anyway.
We can't even get fucking wine ice cream in Louisiana. Well, they finally passed it. It took them like three fucking times to try to allow ice cream with wine in it because they were worried about kids getting drunk off the shit. It's like fucking ass.
Didn't we just pass that we can have alcohol on a Sunday?
Yeah, recently. That was like two or three years
ago?
I want to say 2 or 3 years, but it's been a little longer. But it's recent enough to where I'm like, yeah, I remember that. I remember not being able to buy it. And then I could buy it on Sunday, and I'm still getting used to the feeling. So
it's not a dry county around here.
Hey,
we ain't even a county.
Mm. Yeah, parish, goddammit.
Parish,
11 o'clock on a Sunday, just bought vodka, haven't murdered anybody yet.
Exactly. I'm still waiting on weed to get legalized.
Yeah. It's going to take for fucking ever because of the dick holes in this state.
We're
going to
be
like,
one of the last ones.
You think we're going to be after Mississippi?
Pound for
Are you
pound.
Serious?
Hey. Pound for pound. You can get more brothers in jail using weed than anything else.
That's true.
Think about it.
Yeah.
That is the way that, I mean.
And Colorado is racking up right now.
Yeah. They're doing great.
They're doing fantastic.
I'm loving that the numbers are coming in. They're like, woohoo!
Crime is down like 23%.
What?
Yes. And statewide.
Man. Because all the criminals are like, hey, man, let's go rob a place. Fuck it.
Fuck that.
Have you seen? I picked this up. It's. goddamn Northern Lights from Hell, or whatever they're naming it. This is the nice thing is
they come up with all the names.
Every new strain gets a name.
So he hasn't vetoed it yet, but it's coming.
They're pressuring him.
They're pushing on him. But he's not. Is he running again? He can't run again for governor. Right?
He's term limited. Lame duck.
So he has nothing to do.
He has no legacy to leave.
Like,
why is he being a dick?
Except position himself for a run at president.
That motherfucker is never going to be president.
That's all it is.
And he's so fucking deluded that it's never going to happen.
You know what it is? He's
going to make a run, but he's never going to be fucking president.
Well, the people that he appointed...
Not with that shitty smile.
The people he appointed to suck his dick are biting down. John White, superintendent of education, saying we're sticking with Common Core. General's like, no, we're not. We're pulling out of Common Core.
Yeah, he just did that, didn't he?
They it's all going down today, so... I don't know who's going to get the kids in the divorce, but...
Well, Jindal's leaving.
True.
It's Louisiana, good. So probably the mom.
Yeah. Jindal's fucking gone, son. Mm. Like, after this, he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
I think he's going to build his own presidential library, even though he's not going to win president.
That would be awesome to see.
I think he can fucking do it. He'd be the only one to pull it off and actually get our fucking legislature to pass it.
Mm. The Jindal almost presidential library.
Library. I can see it.
Full of fucking comic books.
That would be
placemats from Denny's. Bunch of Mallard Fillmore cartoons.
Oh shit!
Oh,
fuck that'd be that perfect. Dude. He's been such a the first couple years he's in, we're like, oh good, he's done some good stuff. Thank God he's there. Right. It was enough to get him reelected. Yeah. And now he's just like, how can I piss people off? Like I'm gonna leave. I don't want to never have to have anybody not know what to talk to me about. So I'm going to piss off everybody so that when I'm in a bar, somebody come up and go, motherfucker, and be like, yes, I don't have to drink by myself.
Yeah. I mean, he's done so bad, people have forgotten about Foster and Blanco. Like, they forgot.
Yeah.
That's how bad. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's
just
like Obama. Like, people forgot about Bush. Like, we just forgot.
Yeah. It's
like
true.
Shit has been hitting the fan so much.
Yeah,
we're like, whatever. What Bush did?
Well, it's the goddamn Israelites coming out of Egypt, and they're like, well, at least when we were slaves, we had meat.
Yeah, now.
And now we're eating like fistfuls of sand.
What is this?
Come on, man.
For years.
What the shit?
Yeah. So, well, Iraq is reminding a few folks
of
yeah,
a little bit. Yes, they are.
A little bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Benghazi and this bullshit. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It is what it is.
So. We've got Jindal down. I really want to talk about this. Pissed me off when I saw it. You know the Mark Twain Prize?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the Mark Twain Prize is like, according to everybody, I guess, is the top prize that you give people. Humor, for humor.
In comedy, right?
Yeah.
It's like a lifetime achievement.
A lifetime achievement in humor.
It's a comedy Pulitzer.
Right. I mean, it could have been named after, shit.
Somebody who didn't use the word nigga 177 times in his book.
I never met a man I didn't like.
What?
The guy who said, I never met a man I didn't like. Will Rogers.
Yeah.
Be like Will Rogers. You could have named it after him.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, lifetime achievement in humor and shit like that. So guess who's getting the Mark Twain Prize?
I don't know. I don't know, Jeremy. Who's getting it? I can see his chin through this podcast.
It's got a pork park. Did you see this? This guy that used to host the Tonight Show is getting the Mark Twain Award.
Oh, the dude.
Oh, it's Popeye.
The dude. That's fucking great.
Jay Leno, yeah. So they've officially run out of funny people.
Jay Leno's getting the goddamn Mark Twain Prize.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the list of recipients.
Letterman got it.
Okay, who?
Because it's only been like 14 people.
Really?
Because Richard Pryor was the first.
All right.
And he was still alive, so it was a while back, but it wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
He had to receive that in the 90s, right?
Only 14 winners of the Mark Twain Prize. That's only three more than Triple Crown winners ever.
Damn.
Horse racing Triple Crown.
Okay, the first winner was Richard Pryor, followed by Jonathan Winters.
Okay.
Carl Reiner.
Oh, yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay. Yeah.
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, yeah.
He's a funny motherfucker, and he's done a lot.
He's done a lot.
He's influenced a lot of people.
Yeah, he has.
Like, he and Don Rickles are best friends.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're and their wives, like, travel all over the place.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Rickles is like, I just need somebody to cut the edge. Somebody normal. Lily Tomlin, Lorne Michaels, Steve Martin, Neil Simon, Billy Crystal, George Carlin, Bill Cosby, Tina Fey, Will Ferrell, Ellen DeGeneres, Carol Burnett, and now Jay Leno. One of these things does not belong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That list is all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's like it was going great, and then what the fuck?
Well, I can't believe it took 10 to get to Bill Cosby.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's because Bill's still doing it.
Yeah, he is, but a lot of these people are still working.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't even have the accolades that others have.
Like, Lorne Michaels got it ahead of him. Lorne Michaels has launched a lot of careers.
Yeah, he's SNL. Right.
But he hadn't been doing it near as long, and he didn't... I would argue that Bill Cosby was one of the guys that made stand-up comedy a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To where, like, was something people would go to listen to somebody...
Talk.
Do stand-up. Not, yeah. And I'm not talking about, like, vaudeville, where you would have, like, a second banana, you know, like, you know, like George and Gracie.
Right.
Like, it wasn't two people having a conversation.
Abbott and Costello, yeah. Laurel and Hardy. Yeah, yeah
it was just one guy just making observations. Yeah. I mean, you could say, like, Jack Benny, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was always, these guys with a vaudeville past.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Cosby was one of the first guys to come up and just go, okay... Or to at least one of the first guys to really make it big.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. true. That's true.
I agree with that. So, I mean, that's why I was like, I'm looking at it like, not saying Tina Fey doesn't belong. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was surprised
to see
Tina Fey.
It's a whole lot of people that has a whole lot
like
of
Will Ferrell,
resume.
It seems to me, it seems weird that Will Ferrell would get it ahead
yeah.
of a lot of other people.
Right.
I mean, he's done a lot, but
he's done extremely a lot. And he's extremely funny in everything he has done.
All right, I'm going to throw a name out there that isn't on the list
yeah.
that I don't think about, unless I missed it, that you may or may not agree. Robin fucking Williams.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a name.
Absolutely.
That,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Robin Williams should be on that list. If not already.
I mean, say what you will about him, and it can be annoying and everything after all, but
he at least should have been before Tina Fey.
Yeah. And Will Ferrell.
Yeah, at least.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. He's done...
As far as body of work and influence and basically owning comedy throughout the entire 80s.
Yeah.
Precisely.
He did it.
Yeah.
Cross platforms, went dramatic.
Exactly.
Like, Mel Brooks isn't on there.
That's
oh,
the,
my
Mel
God.
Mel Brooks
yeah.
is not on there. What the we, fuck?
I mean, that's...
That's
that dude's been doing stand-up since World War II.
Literally.
He fought Nazis and then came back and made fun of them.
And
for
talk
like
about
the
it.
Exactly.
Like, that's nuts. That's a big miss.
Monty Python yeah. by itself.
I'm Blazing Saddles by itself.
I think it's an American prize, though.
Oh.
Let me check real quick.
How the fuck?
Yeah, the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor.
American Humor. Still, Mel Brooks.
He did enough in America.
Mm-hmm.
To get the
Blazing
award.
Saddles, the history of the world.
That's crazy.
Hell, the 2,000-year-old man bit alone back there with old Carl Reiner
shit,
back
like
in the day.
Shit.
Or 1,000-year-old man, however. Oh, was the man? Was he the 2,000-year-old man or the 1,000?
The 2,000-year-old man.
He was the 2,000-year-old
yeah.
man, yeah.
That's bananas. That list just pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm halfway
especially
drunk and I'm feeling some type of way about it.
Jay Leno is the big chin cherry on top.
That's crazy. And Letterman not on there?
No.
Letterman's not on there?
No.
That's odd. No. Letterman has been doing late night way more than Leno, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing was Letterman was supposed to, was Carson's hand-picked successor, but the people at NBC said
no.
No,
they ain't like
because,
him.
Well, he pissed them off. He would pick on them and make fun of them in GE when they were owned.
Oh.
When NBC was owned by GE. He did all kinds of shit making fun of NBC executives, calling them stupid. So, yeah, he had his show, I want to say, since 82 or 83.
Oh, that's crazy.
So he had his late-night show for about 10 years.
Before Leno.
Yeah, and then Leno, the NBC said, we're going to give it to Leno instead.
Yeah.
That's when Dave said, okay, fuck you, NBC. I'm going to CBS.
Let me be honest here. I do not like Jimmy Fallon. I don't like him.
I'm not a big
but
fan.
But he is doing a really good job with that show.
He is doing a good job.
I keep getting shit popping up. Like last night, he was in Orlando
with Kevin,
and he had Kevin Hart on.
Yeah,
and Kevin Hart is apparently afraid of roller coasters,
well,
so
yeah.
He took him to Universal Studios.
Kevin Hart can't reach the line, the height line.
They made a joke about that.
Is part like he made a joke.
They walk in and the guy at the line's like, "Sir," and he's got that "you must be this tall to ride" thing. Yeah. He's like, "You can't." And Kevin Hart like just punches it.
He punches it. Mm-hmm. I'm a grown man, man.
So they put him on the roller coaster. Kevin Hart, like, you're like, okay, is this an act or?
Yeah.
Once he gets down, he's like, just close it, put it down, like it down, like it down. Let's go.
He's scared as fuck.
And so they go.
I'm not a big fan of roller coasters either.
Well, they go and it's awesome. It's hilarious. Just watching his face. And they get to the end and Kevin Hart's like, I did it. I'm great. And Jimmy Fallon's like, yeah, you did great. You know what the best part is?
He's like, what?
He goes, we're going again. And he does this. And Kevin's like, no. And it goes and he can't get out. It takes off and he made him do it again.
It was fucking
and that's
true.
Where Fallon really is good is when he gets together with other comedians or celebrities or even the fucking president of the First Lady.
He's a good catalyst.
Yes, he's a good catalyst. He's got to have somebody else with him.
I think Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
I enjoy him more as a host.
Kimmel can do stuff.
I still love Conan. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I love Conan.
Yeah. He's always good. He's got one of those shows you can pop it on, and if he's on, you just say, hang out for a couple minutes.
Yep.
And he's going to be funny.
He's going to do something.
But Fallon, he's got to have that chemistry with somebody else on stage. He's got to have that banter, that back and forth.
Yeah.
To do any. If it's just him.
I can't watch his monologues.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, I can't watch his monologues.
Yeah, his album, he did a two-disc album when he was on SNL, and it's terrible.
Right.
The whole thing, one is all songs, and one is stand-up, and it's
terrible.
It's unlistenable. I got it because I was like, oh, cool. That's when I was just buying tons of comedy CDs before I actually started getting on stage. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting everything. And I listened to that, and I was like, this is horrendous. It's just not funny.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I don't like I said, I don't like his monologues. I try to. I don't know if that's him or the writing.
No, I think
he's hard to write to, though. He's just this awkward, weird dude, and
not everybody's cut out for stand-up. You can be funny and not be cut out for stand-up. Will Ferrell did stand-up one time. He says he did it one fucking time. It was horrible and never did it again. Not saying he's not funny, but Will Ferrell's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
He's not a stand-up dude.
Yep. Just like Key and Peele. They never do stand-up. They say, we are improv guys.
Improv and sketch. Yeah, and they do a fantastic job.
I didn't realize that neither of them had ever done stand-up.
They don't do stand-up. They are improv guys.
I guess it's good because they're funny motherfuckers.
They are.
Yeah.
But they depend on either each other or what's given the
situation.
Yeah.
Which the bad part is they can create it. I've seen it on their show. They're doing stand-up on the show.
Yeah.
But I could see
it's like the
Sklar stand-up.
Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're kind of the act doesn't work without the other half.
Right.
It needs a back and forth.
But I'm not going to lie, it's one of they're the most entertaining sketch show since Chappelle.
Dude, I tell you what. I was leery at first when I saw the commercials for Key and Peele because I mean, how many times has Comedy Central cried wolf sound? We got a fantastic
they
always
show. Do that.
And
well,
I'm like
what's like the dude from what's his friggin' name? The dude from The League had a show.
Kroll.
Kroll.
Show. I love Kroll's show.
Really?
I like it. It grew
to
me.
It comes off like the Tracy Ullman show.
Ullman show, yeah.
Which is
another
one I'm like, I can see how this could be funny.
I like
but I
Kroll
don't,
because
I'm not enjoying
it. The gags that they do, the repeating gags, it takes a little while to warm up to it, but once you're in it,
he's funny.
He's funny.
Amy Schumer's show is funny.
Is it?
I like it.
Yeah.
Like, her humor is not more of what Key and Peele is. It's more, like, grounded and situational.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I prefer stuff that is out of nowhere, I guess. That's what really cracks me up. I like shit that, I wouldn't think of.
Right.
Key and Peele always does that shit.
Yeah.
Like that one where they had, the end of the world, and he's walking around, he's got the goggles on and his rifle, and he's like, I haven't seen another human since The Happening.
Yeah.
And it's all gritty and shit, and he walks around the corner, and the dude's got a big rainbow wig on, and he's got, a throne and a big bowl of Cheetos and all these mannequins in lingerie. And he's just dancing around, just being nuts, and he's like dumping Cheetos down his throat. He sees it, he's like, "Hey, man, what's up?" And he just shoots him.
Yep.
He's like, "I'm alone. I'm so alone."
Fuck.
That's hilarious. I wouldn't put that together.
Yeah.
You know, I would have done something where he meets another dude, and they have to, it's uncomfortable, and they try not to make out with each other for an hour because they have to see the person.
Their gags do take it past where you would think you would end a sketch.
Right. They go a little bit beyond.
Yeah. There was one I was watching it with Carol one night, and they come up with a warning, like, all right, guys, we're sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck are they about to do? Yeah. We're sorry. We're sorry. And it was the bit where the guy comes in and his wife's like, hey, honey, I noticed that our internet history is deleted. It's like gone. What's up with that? And the dude kind of sweats a little bit. And he's like, oh, I don't know. It must be like a update thing, I guess. And Carol looks over at me. And I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Hit you right on the head.
Who was it? I don't know if it was Louis C.K. or somebody who said that the wife went up to them and says, did you hear about John? Judy said she found him watching the porn, masturbating the porn. Can you believe that? He says, I was like, I was a spy, and my friend who was a spy had just gotten caught, and I'm over here going, how do I act without blowing my cover?
Yeah,
that's
like
the best. That's the best analogy. He's like, wow, I can't believe that he would do such a thing. Nice. Perhaps, maybe he had some needs that
needed to be taken
care of, and he didn't want to burden his wife with all of that extra duties and stuff. So, and she came back and said, if you ever find yourself in that situation, you just let me know and I'll take care of it. And he goes, that's probably the nicest thing anybody's ever offered to do for me. He goes, but I did feel bad because it was like she was volunteering for a full-time job with a part-time expectation.
That sounds like a Louis C.K. bit.
It's the same conversation as like the Tiger Woods thing. You know, goes up and he's like, can you believe that he slept with all these women? Like all, like three or four everywhere he went.
Yeah, women.
He would just have a different woman every night.
South Park did that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they did.
The South Park
didn't they?
Sex addiction.
Yes,
man. I got my one of my good friends has one of the best bits about Tiger Woods. It's the cleverest shit I ever thought about, and it's a math joke, which is amazing because he says, and it's Robert Powell, who's with Shaq Tour. He came up with the bit that says, I think Tiger Woods cheated on his wife 0% of the time.
Mm.
He said, listen to me. He said, now, Tiger Woods is famous, and a whole lot of people want to fuck him.
Mm.
He said, now, myself, I don't have a lot of people that want to fuck me. Now, if I'm with my wife, and five girls want to fuck me, and I fuck three, well, that's 60 to 80% of all the hoes that want to fuck me. Mm. I'm a whore. All right? Tiger Woods, millions of girls want to fuck him. And he fucked 19.
19 out of
that
a million.
That is 0.000019.
That's a big-ass denominator.
Round that up. That is zero. He cheated on his wife 0% of the time.
Wow. Yeah, Norm Macdonald has a
that
similar...
That is a great fucking bit. Yeah.
Norm Macdonald has a similar thing where he goes on to, you know, talk about how, like, what is the guy going to do? He gets back, you know, he's playing golf all day. He just goes back to his room. He calls it up. He's like, yeah, I'd like a chicken breast sandwich. And he's like, no, I don't want the blowjob to end all blowjobs. I just want a chicken breast sandwich.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. And on the other side of this break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the late Casey Kasem.
Oh, yeah.
And a local connection, a local person with a connection, a very loose connection, but nonetheless tried to milk the death of an American icon for publicity. Because I myself am not the biggest media whore in Baton Rouge, apparently.
What, Maya Angelou?
No. So, all right, we'll be right back with the Red Stick Podcast.
Hey, Port Allen. Your past couple mayors might be embarrassing, but at least you have a restaurant you can be proud of. Court Street Cafe serves delicious home-style meals 6 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, along with brunch from 8 to 2 on Sunday. And you don't need to give yourself a $20,000 raise to afford eating there. Located at 805 Court Street in downtown Port Allen, Court Street Cafe offers a variety of omelets, burgers, po' boys, platters, and so much more. So, if you're hungry on the west side, there's no need to hunt for which place to eat. Get it? which hunt. Find out more at CourtStreetCafe.com.
Oh, we're back. We're talking about human fleshlights. What did you say, Nick? You were talking about how to clean it.
Petite women. They're great because you can just grab their hips and you use them like a human fleshlight.
Uh-huh.
Just lift them up and down like that. And Howard's like, yeah, when you're done, you just toss them to the side. I'm like, yeah, just like my fleshlight. And then I clean it out just like my fleshlight, where I take the cap off one end and I blow in the opposite end and clear out the spooch from the bottom. Just let it all spray out.
Freaking
into my
amazing.
Sink.
It's amazing.
And then you hose it off. You can't wait. You can't let it get all...
No, you can't
you
get
know.
It crusty.
Yeah. No.
Or just get to that watery thing that sticks on stuff and you just can't get it out.
Yeah.
No, you don't
so I'm like doing her a service.
That's true. I like to call that life residue. That's what that is.
Life residue?
Yep.
Like when you get milk on your top lip.
Yeah.
It's like that. You got a little life right
little
there.
Little life. I left a little.
I don't want your thighs looking like a got milk ad. You gotta get that. Get some of the sand away. Have you got the little post sex wipes?
Mm-mm.
No.
They have wipes that are like it's like baby wipes, but they're specifically for like after sex.
Really?
They smell like cigarettes.
It's like a hot towel. Absolutely.
Yeah, like it's like it's cold. Rag. It's just a little box.
Wow.
And they're like lavender scented.
So basically, they just gave a different name to wet wipes.
Yeah, brilliant marketing.
Brilliant.
They're just like afterwards, his little
specifically for this reason.
Well, I mean, it's way better than like just hitting the chick with a towel. Be like, here you go, good luck.
You know, I
moistened a corner of it for you,
right? And you can have it warmed ahead of time. You can be the gentleman and have it warmed ahead of time. But if you really are a gentleman, by the time you use it, that shit's room temperature.
Yeah,
cold.
Yeah. That's what you do.
You
wipe them down like that so they can. Hop up and go pee.
Yeah.
Starts that urine flow.
I'm so primed by Sonny. I thought you were going to go, hop up and go make you a sandwich.
Yeah. What was it? Bernie Mac that talked about the wash rag by the bedside?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that was D.L.
Was it D.L. Hugo?
D.L. Hugo.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just remember our friend Adam Wilson in Brooklyn did a routine one time about hearing that joke for the first time. And everyone around him was laughing their ass off, and he was shuddering in horror because apparently his dad had put the wash rag next to the bedstand, and he found it, and was like, oh, wow, how convenient. Here's a wash rag. I need to wash my face. And so he washed his face with it.
Wow.
And
life all over his face right
there. The residue of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
He comes walking in looking like that dude from Dead Presidents.
with the white
makeup all over.
Wow. He was never closer to his dad.
Then that moment.
The worst part is like after one. You know when you dry your face off with something, you instinctively just lick your lips because So just like a quick
Nick,
rub down
and
like a real...
This podcast is going to hell.
It is.
Jesus. I don't even know. It's nothing I can say after that. What is the next topic?
All right. So we know Casey Kasem died. He got rest of soul, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
He had been going downhill
Casey
for a Kasem. While.
Casey Kasem.
His wife was...
Goodbye, folks. I'm dead.
His wife... Took
I died
him on
the
run.
In presence of my bitch wife.
She was out
my
there.
My hateful
like,
kids.
Had them hidden.
Who were fighting for my fortune outside.
Exactly. I mean, the whole family situation was
I
so
choked
weird.
On my own tongue. I hate my life. I took it myself. And now, wasps fuck like a beast. I've wanted to say that for 50 years. Fuck you all. See you in hell. Casey Kasem out.
We just joked about Casey Kasem passing away. That's great. This is a great podcast.
But really, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. I was a millionaire. And after all that time being a millionaire, I found the pleasure of life waning and could only come on the backs of illegal Thai whores. Shipped in by the crateful and slaughtered immediately after. With a pneumatic gun.
A craneful. Thank you.
There's nothing like the fist of a midget holding your turgid cock while you drink 200-year-old scotch. I'm Casey Kasem.
Thank you for that, Nick. I needed that.
All right, so that, like we said, rest in peace, Casey Kasem.
I requested in my will to be buried with my favorite dwarf.
Which he named Gandalf.
Little Gandalf.
Little Gandalf.
Will be buried alive with me in his custom-made wizard robes.
Damn, they just spit my margarita out.
Custom, like I've always said,
custom wizard robes.
Leave this world with a little magic in you.
Wow.
And I know I put myself in a little bit of magic every Thursday after a steak dinner and a decent bottle of Chablis.
Wow.
Love you, Gandalf.
Wow. We just went there.
Wow.
This is amazing. We should
never
Casey
Kasem, midget fucker, out.
So as you can tell by Nick's eulogy, Casey Kasem was an icon in American, an American icon. And
dreaded by midgets the world over, Casey Kasem.
And as you may or may not know, Casey Kasem was the voice of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Wow.
He was the voice of Shaggy. And so there's a local guy that you may or may not have heard of.
Nobody knows.
He's been radio. Like, as I said, I thought that, I was
nobody knows.
You don't know this fucker.
His name is Scott Innes.
Scott Innes.
And you may know Scott Innes if you listened to country radio a couple of years ago before he got fired, like a bunch of other people over at Clear Channel.
Wow.
He was known. You remember his catchphrase?
No.
He had a catchphrase. Did you know that? Besides, I'm the voice of Scooby-Doo. His catchphrase.
He always said that.
Yeah, that was. Well, that wasn't a catchphrase. That was his name. Just like Tony King. You can't say without is funny. Yeah. Tony King. You can't say Scott Innes without saying Scott Innes, the voice of Scooby-Doo.
Wow.
Even though he only had like one gig doing it or whatever.
Yeah, anyway, was it, like yeah. Probably an episode.
Yeah. And so
the
straight-to-video kind of stuff.
It's like your fucking aunt that was on The Price is Right once in the 80s, and she was in the audience, and she has a VHS tape she shows everybody at Thanksgiving of her. See, there's me waving in the back. I dressed like a pumpkin.
And the camera pans.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
You can kind of see
exactly.
That's what he did. Okay.
Yeah. And then she goes on about every year. So me and Bob Barker went out for dinner afterwards.
And, yeah, bet.
Yeah.
Gave him a hand job.
Yeah. She made he let me.
I was there.
He let me
the dwarf.
He let
two
me
tables over.
He let me spin that big wheel. So
perfect.
So.
His tiny hands grabbing my hog underneath the tablecloth.
Not in case Kasem gets to that dinner.
At a $300 a plate. So, French restaurant.
So Scott Innes.
Nothing like foie gras.
I'm sorry.
So Scott Innes his catchphrase was "Hug them babies," and that's why he's got a magazine now called Scott Innes's, because he's like Tyler Perry. You can't just call it. So it's got to have the name.
It's got to have the name in it.
It's got to have his name as a possessor.
Scott Innes's
Hug magazine.
So, wait, it's a magazine. It's like a like a published magazine.
Yeah, you might
like
find
with paper.
Glossy paper. You might find you it in restaurants around town.
Well, I'm glad he's hopping on that bandwagon while it's hot and fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
You
print.
I'm getting into periodicals.
Print publications is where it's at.
You can find one at your local library.
Yeah,
in the periodical section.
Exactly. So anyway,
I love periodicals.
Specifically
about dwarves.
Specifically about dwarves. In magical outfits.
There was an ice cream place. Scott Innes also had an ice cream place. I want to say over in Brulee somewhere.
What he named it?
Guess what he called it?
What?
Scoopin'Doo's.
That's like extremely close to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, he had to close it. Want to know why?
Why is that?
Because the folks that own the rights to Scooby-Doo, it's not Hanna-Barbera anymore. It's Warner Brothers told him cut that shit out.
Seriously. They came to Louisiana and was like, yo.
Yeah.
Shut that shit the fuck down. Yeah,
dude, if you go online and just type in like shit Disney's done to people.
It's like, some horrible shit.
Like it, you know, anybody that owns the rights to any beloved character, whether it's Warner Brothers or Sony or Disney.
The Godzilla
whatever.
People are the most protective of their brand.
Oh yeah.
Who owns that?
Toho
Toho
is the name of it. They just settled a lawsuit with the Nola Brewer, you know, Nola Beer?
Yeah.
Hopatulas. They came out with one called Mecha Hopzilla. Godzilla folks said, uh-uh, we're suing you. Yes, they had a settlement. And so now it's going to be just called Mecha? Mecha Hops or
did
something
did they sue
like
because
Mecha.
Of the word Zilla?
Yeah.
On
yeah.
the end of it?
Right.
Mecha Godzilla.
That's why we have the story on the Red Stick from last week where the folks that own Godzilla
yeah.
are suing the website, the porn studio, Rancho Rama, for using the word Cockzilla in their the Cockzilla series.
There is no Cockzilla in the Godzilla series, is it?
No, but it's too close.
No, in porn.
In porn, Cockzilla.
Well, yeah, I understand that in porn.
The problem was that they did a whole series. The original Cockzilla, they let it go, but Cockzilla versus Gamora was fucked up.
Yeah.
Where they had a dude with a giant hog mm-hmm. slapping it on a turtle.
Yeah,
and they found
yeah.
that offensive. And then Mecha Cockzilla, fuck
Mecha
that.
Cockzilla, yeah. That's just and then the much. Folks at the porn studio attorney's like, hey, it's not like our guys have green dicks and breathe fire. Just
no,
no.
I mean, it's not close. It's not like I'm gonna watch both movies.
But
anyway, side by side,
yeah, like
they're, like doing commentary. That should be you do on your next podcast.
Yeah.
Watch Cockzilla and then the original 1954
yeah, with
Godzilla.
One hand, with one hand busy. This does not
well, I mean, they do,
seem.
But they do have...
I'm going to come and breeze fire. They, it's not related.
Some of the Cockzilla movies have frightened Asian women.
Really?
It's because black cock women. Yeah, oh!
That was the culmination. The dude walks into his living room and a whole group of Asian chicks go running
just
out.
Leave.
No, too buku.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too buku. So,
it's true. Reminds me of Dave Godzilla's... Chappelle and that sketch when he came on the Godzilla set and uppercutted the fuck out of Godzilla.
Oh, volcano. Chappelle.
Yep.
And then he ripped off the smokestack
yeah.
off the factory.
smoked
it.
It's fucking amazing, son. Came in a volcano and it shot up in the gay dude's face. It didn't make the cut, but goddamn it, it's sterile. Fuck. Miss Dave Chappelle.
You saw what he was on. Saw he was on Letterman last week.
Yeah.
Well, did you see him on Good Morning America?
Mm-mm, no.
He got. You know how they have that big window in the back?
Yeah.
He walked up to the window and he had his show at Madison Square Garden and the time and everything where you could get tickets written on a big poster board. And he walked right up to the window and just stuck it to the glass. It was like,
are you serious? Yeah. That's perfect.
That's awesome.
Love Dave.
All right. So getting back, Scoopin' Doos, ice cream,
Scoopin' Doos,
Scoopin' Doos. He couldn't keep that open because
Scooping
obviously
dudes.
You know licensing issues. He didn't own the license to the brand.
So basically, Scooping they came down and shut
yeah.
him the fuck down.
And he from I was at Channel 9 yesterday, and from my sources, reliable sources at Channel 9,
mm-hmm.
Josh Meeks, they Shameless issued Warner pull. Brothers issued a cease and desist letter to. For Scott Ennis to stop going around saying that he's the voice of Scooby-Doo because he's not. And he only did it like this one time. They have other people that do it all the time. And he's like this, he's like the D-list
Scooby-Doo
voices. Right. But if you didn't know any better, you would think, especially all you got to do is Google Scott Ennis. And the top 10 of the first page of Google is just him and Scooby-Doo.
Well, he did. He's done several video games and direct to video.
Right.
Scooby Doo.
Well, apparently they hired him to do some movie.
What year was that?
This was starting in '99.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, '98.
So he was hired to go do this movie. I don't know. Josh mentioned. I forget some movie like in Australia or New Zealand and.
Scooby versus
Cockzilla. I don't know what it was, but he was supposed to be the voice of Scooby Doo, and he's just sitting there. And the director and the producer was like, "Who's this fat fuck over here, just sweating out here?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm the voice of Scooby Doo." And they're like, "Get the fuck out of here. We can get somebody over here locally to do it."
Wow, really?
That's what I've heard.
Wow.
So anyway, now
get somebody locally.
So
to do
the
it.
Local, the local ish. You know, everybody's always looking for a local angle when somebody famous dies or something nationally
right.
happens.
Mm-hmm.
So Casey Kasem dies. And the word I got was that he called Channel 9, Scott Ennis called Channel 9 and said, hey, I'm offering this exclusive interview about Casey Kasem because I was the voice of Scooby. I'm the voice of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. He does both. And Casey Kasem was the voice of Shaggy, and I knew Casey Kasem. He met him once.
He never worked with him.
He talked to him on the phone once, from what I know.
Yeah. One time.
One time. This is from what I've heard. But if you didn't know any better, you would think they went to dinner every day at Spago's, like once a week or whatever.
And then went back in the studio and
he did. He just did voice work. I don't even know if he's been to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So he did the voiceovers here and probably sent
probably
it to
him.
Probably so. Motherfucker, you wouldn't even in the studio.
Anyway, so he contacted them saying, all right, Channel 2 is asking to do something with me, but I'm offering an exclusive with Channel 9, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what happened with Channel 9. It fell through. They didn't have time to do the deal, what have you. So he ended up doing the thing with Channel 2.
When does that air?
It aired the other day. It aired really? Like the day that Casey Kasem died. Well, apparently Scott Innes, who was so offended on behalf of the memory of Casey Kasem, went on the Facebook.
Posted
in
his feelings
some stuff here
in his feelings
and realized it might have been a little too emotional and then deleted it. However, it was screenshotted by one of our favorite reporters at Channel 9
by the name of shameless plug
Street Beat.
Boom.
Yeah. So
we all know who that is.
Greg Merriweather. He doesn't watch the news.
I don't.
Nick doesn't watch.
I get my news from the internets.
Yeah. Plural? Thank you.
Yeah, all of them.
So Scott Innes apparently, he posted this on Facebook and then deleted it. But, hey, once it's on the web, that's it.
I don't like people to tell me the news, Howard. I can read it myself. I'll find the news. Don't tell me the news.
Fuck TV, fuck the internet. If I want to know the news, I'm going to look out the goddamn window.
I do. I go outside. I say, what's happening, world? And if it doesn't answer, I'm fine.
That's right.
What's the weather like? I got it while I was out there.
That's right.
Tell me the news. Motherfucker, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
There's no hurricane coming. It's sunshining out here. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Another bright, shiny day.
Fucking weather.
Time to take time off and fuck a midget.
Thank you. Nick has found a way to bring Casey Kasem in every topic. Thank you for that.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
So, this is what Scott Innes posted on Facebook.
I like fucking midget. I'm sorry. He and I never got along. Scott Innes is a bastard.
I want to thank WBRZ2 for shooting an amazing piece on Casey Kasem and myself that will air at 10 p.m. tonight. Great people. Another station followed me into the studio this morning to get some great footage of me doing Shaggy in the studio for McDonald's, but at last minute decided to pull the plug saying, quote, Casey Kasem was yesterday's news. Wow. Sorry they felt that way. Really pissed me off. He put that in quotes. They missed the story. It's that small market mentality, frowny face. Oh, well, WBRZ got it, and you can see it at 10 p.m. Thanks, guys, for seeing what the rest of the world is still talking about. Long live Casey Kasem's memory and what he meant, M-E-N-T, to the rest of the world. And I just love the arbitrary capitalizations just thrown in there.
Well, I'll tell you. I did talk to Scott.
Thank you. What do you say?
It was a short conversation. Uh-huh. He asked me what I'd like to have for dinner. I suppose he was proposing a date.
Mm-hmm.
I blew him off. But the bastard had my number. For years afterwards, he would call me, drunk, 3 o'clock in the morning, doing his Shaggy voice. He would ask me to participate in shag-offs. I would hang up the phone.
A shag-off?
I blocked his number. He came to my house. Scott Innes is a bastard, and he knows nothing about fucking midgets. I'm Casey Kasem.
Zoink Scoops, when you gonna let me get in that strange?
That's close, Jeremy, but drunker, with tears behind it. It's just sad. I mean, look.
I think Scott Innes...
It's a neat opportunity. He did something cool, yeah. And... You know, great for him, but you got to move on. Go beyond
that. He's bringing up high school days.
If you ever meet,
he's bringing up high school.
If you ever meet the guy, he's one of those people where it's like, is this his normal voice? It was like when you met Rich Little, you didn't know if it's like, who are you doing now? It's like, I'm doing Rich Little. But with him, you never know. It's like he's always doing some kind of voice. He speaks in a radio voice. You know, like that voice that Nick was just doing?
Yeah.
He talks like that all the fucking time.
Fuck out of here.
You can't talk to Scott Innes in a normal conversational tone.
Wow.
The green light is always on. The on-air light is always fucking on with him.
Like, I'm on the radio now.
And he hasn't worked at a radio station since, like, 4 years ago when they fired him and a bunch of people at Clear Channel.
Man. I used to work on the radio. And I'm stuck like this. Forever.
But it's
now come suck my dick, man.
It's like the 10th time. Thank you, Nick.
That's rude. I would never refer to them as midget.
Yeah.
Except for the one midget that wasn't a midget. It was his gig. He was like Scott Innes. He always referred to himself by the one thing that he was kind of known for.
Yeah.
Of course, as a midget, everyone knew he was a midget. It was redundant as hell. But he gave a hell of a rim job. On Casey Kasem.
Thank you. I can't get. I can get listen to this all fucking day.
Well, no.
Can we get it? Can we get a dedication?
For what?
From Casey Kasem.
He was very dedicated. This dedication goes out to Scott Innes.
Well, no, you know he always read the long stories and dedicated. Like, I want to dedicate this song, and it's some sad story from some teenage emo
Make
chick.
It sad about Scott Innes.
We've got a letter.
There you go.
From Scott. Dear Casey, I used to be quite something in my younger years. I was famous, or at least I thought I was. But times have gotten hard. No one pays attention to me anymore. I was wondering if I could hitch my trailer, which has two flat tires and a busted air conditioner, to your star as it falls to Earth one last time. Thanks for the memories. Sincerely, Scott. Well, Scott, we've got something special for you right now. CeeLo Green with Fuck You.
I see you riding around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, fuck you. That's hysterical. I ain't even met Scott Innes, but I hate him. Like, just off what's been told today.
I think he's got a fleshlight called the Mystery Machine.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
It's shit like a dog's ass.
I don't believe he cleans it properly.
He's got a collar with the tags on it. He's like, it's not the same if it doesn't jingle when you're bugging it. Like, it breaks the illusion.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Does he have tags on?
He goes down on his wife's like, rubber Scooby Snack.
I could just imagine him making the voices for the fleshlight. That's just...
Talk to me. You like that, don't you? But oh, Scoob. Does he have a? He's got to have a great name. Named Scoob.
You know he does. Something in his house is named Scoob.
I know he has a mystery machine.
Can you imagine what the inside of his house looks like?
Imagine, like the inside of a fleshlight.
Semen and dog fur. That's pretty
like
much what I have.
His closet, and every shirt is nothing but Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, Scooby-Doo.
That. Ascots.
Yeah, ascots.
I can thoroughly believe that.
That's
yeah.
all he's got in his closet.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
He's get his shit together. Sell some snowballs, man. Get yourself together, man.
Come up with something that's not Scooby-Doo
is
themed.
Is Scooby still even coming on?
They apparently have done
New
quite
episodes,
a number of,
I should say?
Of direct-to-video DVDs.
I never was a real Scooby-Doo fan anyway.
Maybe no, I'd be like, it's not a real monster, but in the new ones, they do have real monsters.
What?
Yeah. They're not bad. It was, Carol and I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo, the new Scooby-Doo, when we were in Rome.
Okay.
Because the TV, like, the only thing that kind of made sense was Cartoon Network. It was all in Italian. Like that.
But you can put it together.
Adventure Time song would come on because that would be about the time we get home or we get back to the hotel. Adventure Time would be on, and so you turn on TV, and it was that Adventure Time, Cabana Los Amici's. I don't speak fucking Italian, but they had all the Scooby Doo things on, and they were all in Italian, so it was kind of watchable. Like, man, if you thought Wilma was fucking hot before,
yeah,
when she's speaking Italian,
ooh,
it's a whole other thing.
Oh, fuck yeah.
There it is.
Bella.
Jesus.
Mm. He's getting the back of that fucking van.
Problem I is make it's, that noise.
It's
like
all
that.
It's all yeah. dog fur and like pot smoke. Kinky as hell.
I think the screaming kid over there is letting us know it's time to start wrapping this up over here. This
and I'm tipsy.
Has been you finished off your strawberry margarita over there. This
I
has
am.
Been fun. Tell us about stuff you got coming up.
Oh
tell
man,
folks where
I
they
got
can
some
see
great
you.
News. One. Just Joe's Comedy Club in Baton Rouge is open. You can go
where
to
is
just,
it at?
It's what is it? I forgot the.
Is that the one on Bennington?
Address. On Bennington used to be the old Funny Bone.
Old Funny Bone.
That's just
so
Joe's
across
Comedy
from the
Club.
Penthouse Club.
Across from the Penthouse Club.
There you go.
It used to be the Gold Club.
It used to be the Gold Club.
That's right. A lot of used to.
You know these things that used to be there? It's around there.
It's around.
They're still there, but they're named differently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's going on. And also, July 1st, my DVD comes out. DVD/album. Yes, July 1st.
Groovy.
Yes.
Hell.
And this one's going to be in Redbox, huh?
Yeah.
Ah, you can go get it. You can go to Walgreens.
It's a Redbox deal?
Well, that one doesn't come out for another 6 months. So I have it on my website and on iTunes.
Okay.
And then in about 6 months, you'll see it in Redbox and Walmart.
All right. So if they want to see your website, what website do they go to?
You can go to howardhallcomedy.com or find me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at howardhall24.
At howardhall24. We're going to have links to it on the Red Stick. You can check it out there. And so you can check them out on that DVD, and then you got another DVD coming out in 6 months later. You can get a Redbox.
Like, it's going to be a different cut, too, because I did like an hour and 45 minutes. So we kind of made two cuts of it.
Cool.
Yeah, so that it's going to be great.
That is fantastic. So you got Just Jokes Comedy Club. You got something going on this weekend? Are you going to be involved
weekend,
in
this weekend, Theo Vaughn is there. I might do a guest set while I'm there. You know,
this Friday, Saturday night?
Yeah, one show Friday, one show Saturday.
Okay. And Theo Vaughn is from New Orleans. He started out as a reality TV star and then crossed over into the comedy scene. And
he's doing real well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's gotten really funny. You know, at first I really thought that it was going to be cliche. I think he's just doing it. But literally over the years, he stuck to it.
He's got great. Good.
He's gotten really, really good.
Good.
And, I mean, he got his own show on TBS with Haim Mandel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so he's living.
Cool. Fucking A. So TBS. Nah. Very funny.
Very funny.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just did, Nick, y'all's first episode of Dork from the new Dork Studios.
It's my shop, Howard.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But it's
I'm going to be converting it to a little more podcast-friendly. We did it from there. I'm still moving in, so there's that. Let's see. I am going to be having fettuccine Alfredo for dinner.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I've got planned.
Damn, Nick. That's it?
Yeah.
For the weekend?
Actually, July 11th, 12th, and 18th and 19th. That's two weekends back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
TBR is doing Tony and Tina.
That's Theater Baton Rouge, by the way.
Theater Baton Rouge. Or, that's what it is. They're doing a fundraiser. They're doing Tony and Tina's wedding, which is like a wedding.
Yeah.
But it's also it's all actors. Oh. And you go to an actual wedding and then you go to the reception afterwards.
Wow.
It started in New York like in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they do a version of it in Vegas, like where you go. So basically, for $35, you go, you get dinner, and you get a show. And it's a wedding from beginning to end, you know.
Right.
So they do that they do a fundraiser every year.
That's kind of
I'll be playing the priest that gets everybody married.
Wait, and you have an actual license to marry him. So is it going to be legal at the end of the play? At the end of the production?
No, because you have to sign shit.
Okay. But he's a bona fide officiant.
I am. I'm on the rolls. I had to sign a big old book about a Lord of the Rings.
That is cool. So, but check out this week's Dork. I haven't listened to it yet, but you said James gets pretty fucked up.
I brought apple ciders. And I had these big mugs that go down real smooth.
Yeah.
Whenever you put anything in them, they have a big wide mouth, and so it just disappears.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So James, by the end of it, got pretty tipsy.
And
he's always fun when he's drunk.
James, I haven't listened. I want to listen to just to see a count. All right, I'm going to guess the over-under on number of times that James Brown breaks into song on this episode of Dork. I would say somewhere 7 or 8.
I'm going to go for 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's in between there. So it would be 6.
Six, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go 4 or 5.
All right.
But yeah, it's worth a shot. Yeah.
Because that's the thing. He breaks into song when he's sober, when he gets tipsy.
Yeah.
It's all the time.
Every time.
Every
show tunes,
time.
It don't matter what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
James is going to get into it.
Well, guys, this has been fun. So you can check out Howard Hall on Twitter.
Yes,
and
Twitter, Instagram.
Howard Hall 24.
Yep.
Nick Moore.
You can see me in Walmart on occasion. I got to go at least once every other week to get kitty litter.
$5 bin for DVDs, too.
Yeah.
And you can check me out at Comic Ref. You can also check us out on iTunes, Dork Podcast, Red Stick Podcast. Give us a 5-star review. The Family Dinner Podcast. They're producing a podcast for us again now. And, of course, Howard Hall, you're on iTunes as
third
well.
Shift show.
Third Shift Show. So check them out. Subscribe. Rate us. Tell your friends. I'm Jeremy White.
I'm Nick Moore.
And I'm Howard Hall.
This has been the Red Stick Podcast.
Stick around, folks. Scott Innes is a bastard.